Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this is really significant because all these fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those flow out of the agape love of God. And so that's what God is doing. He's building His church, His people. See, the word church, it's the ecclesia, the people. We're the people of God. You're the church, not this building. You are the people. And His people, He's building His people and His body. Where His people show up in His body, well, I belong to, I'll just go to church here and go over here and go over here because I'm in the body. You have to be connected somewhere in the body where the Word of God is building the church. You see that? Because you have this mentality, well, I'm in the body, but I just go anywhere. See, you're never accountable to anything. And Psalms 93 says, blessed is the man who's planted in the house of the Lord. You can't be blessed if you're not planted. See, you won't flourish. It's like you go plant tomato plant and you pull it up, say, no, I'm gonna plant it back here in the yard. Nope, I'm gonna plant it over in my neighbor's yard. Oh, nope, I'm gonna take and plant it. I'm gonna go plant it across the street. Oh, no, I'm gonna plant it over behind Walmart. No, oh, I'm gonna plant it here. It'll never produce one tomato. Are you listening to me? That's the idea. You have to be planted in His church where His word is going forth to produce His fruit. Are we making sense? Come on, are we making sense? Now, and so the idea is that's His love is what He's developing in all of us, the agape love. And so that's where all these fruit flow from, the agape love. So he says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear. Last week we talked about fear. Remember? And in our verse, our study of what we're going to get to today, we've been studying faithfulness. Faithfulness is the fruit of God's Spirit. You see? So if you're faithful, you will produce what God intended. You see that? That's why the enemy doesn't want you to be faithful. So if you're faithful to your wife, it's going to be a blessing. And she's faithful to you, you'll have paradise. If you're faithful in your finances, you're going to pay your bills. You're going to be able to take a vacation. You're going to be able to take care of your children. See that? If you're faithful in your relationships, you're going to have friends. You're going to have people who want to be around you and connect with you. If you're wherever you're faithful, God's going to produce that. If you're lonely, somewhere you're not being faithful. If you're miserable, somewhere you're not being faithful. If you can't pay your bills, somewhere you're not being faithful. Making sense? So faithfulness is something He's trying to produce in your life. So now, and He says we're to be faithful unto death. Willing to die for what you believe. That's what He's producing in His church. And see, when you die to yourself, God will replace what you died to and bring something better in your life. And that's what faithfulness does. You stay faithful and you get to the what God's trying to bring in your life. Okay? Now, so we looked at fear last week, and remember, I told you that when you're born in this world, you have two fears. What were they? The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That's all the fears you have when you're born into this world. Every other fear is learned behavior. So if you have a fear of failure, you learned that from someone. If you have a fear of rejection, you learned that from someone. If you have a fear of loneliness, you learned that from somebody. Every other phobia and fear is learned behavior. This is what psychologists have discovered. Now I'm talking neuroscientists. These are some of the smartest minds on the earth and have got together and discovered we're born with two fears. And those fears that you're born with were there to protect you. God gave those fears to you to protect you. You know, dog, if you know, loud noise, right? And the fear of falling. Well, if I'm up on the roof, I'm not going to just jump off, right? I'll get hurt. Makes sense? Loud noises. Loud noises come to alert you and warn you, right? Makes sense? So now, think about this. All the other fears have been learned. But here's what happens. The enemy takes those fears and uses them against you. You see, the first two fears God gave you were put in you to protect you. Now he takes those fears and distorts them, and you think you're protecting yourself. You see that? And so now you're trying to protect yourself, and it will actually keep you and limit you from success and becoming who God created you to be. You're always trying to protect yourself. Remember I talked about psychology? I'm into psychology. I like psychology. I'm not a psychologist, but I study it. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, and I understand psychology. My mom was diagnosed with a paranoid schizophrenic and ended up her last 13 years. She didn't take any medicine. Her mind was sound, and we communicated, and it was like talking to a different person. Did you hear me? That's why we got to understand this word. He says, I've sent you my word to heal you and to deliver you from destruction. Psalms 107, verse 20. I'm telling you, folks, his word brings the love of God in your heart and in your life. And this is what we need, agape love, power. That's where the power is in agape love. But fear keeps you from that love. You see this? And that's why he says in 2 Timothy 2:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Power, love. Power is authority. Love, agape, sound mind. Power, love, sound mind. Sound means healthy, whole, integrated mind. You see this? When you have God's love, it's producing in you a sound mind, a secure mind, a whole mind. Look at our world today. And the number one problem, psychology today will tell you, mental illness. Everywhere. Everywhere. You tap into his love, start working it. Oh, you think life's pretty good. Life's good. Because you're secure. You're growing. You're removing fears that were robbing you and taken from you. You see this? I'm going to read these 10 fears that I left off with last week, and then I'm going to get to the message. But I want to go over these fears real quick so you can be reminded. So, psychology today, why you, well, Psychology, well, you're up there talking psychology. Psychology means the study of the soul. The word soul is the Greek word psyche. Ology, study of. Psychologia, psychology, the study of the soul. Psychiatry. Psychiatry is the treatment of the soul. See that? Now look, James 1, 21. It's the implanted word. We're to receive the implanted word with meekness, which is able to save your soul. The word save is the same word as sound. Whole, healthy soul. The word of God has been given to you and I for a whole, healthy soul. Can you look at me? I'll talk to you about it. I'll let you know. You come to my office, I'm going to give you a word. You see that? And you'll leave different. But you better be coming back for some more. Am I making sense? Because you have to keep in it. You have to stay in it. Making sense? So now let's look. The top 10 fears. This is a study over the world. All these psychologists and neuroscientists got together. Top 10 fears. You know what they are? Number one, change. Change. Fear of change. That's one of the number one fears. Public speaking. That is the number one in America. Okay. So change is the number one fear. Loneliness is number two. You got to get involved in a group, a life group. You got to get involved with people. You got to be connected. You got to be connected. You see, here's what happens. God is always trying to connect you to the good and separate you from the bad. The devil is always trying to separate you from the good and connect you to the bad. That's why it's so vitally important to stay connected to a healthy word church. You see this? Now, so loneliness. People laying on the street, afraid they can't survive, and living in poverty. The very thing that they're afraid of, they're living in. It comes on you. You see that? It's everywhere. Failure, the fear of failure. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're always going to fall doing something. If you're going to do something, do it big, right? Go big or go home. I like that. That was number three, yeah. Number four, rejection. People have a fear of rejection. I had that bad because I was rejected as a child. My mom wasn't able to raise me. You see, your parents, God only used your parents to get you here to do his will. See, God had your life all planned out before you even showed up. So you can't use your parents as an excuse for why you are acting and carrying on the way you carry on. Well, my dad was never there for me. Okay, what else you got? Well, my parents, you know what? You got to get rid of that. Remember? Now, what happened to me is actually happened for me. See, when you have this, neuroscientists have discovered what happened to me, if you stay in that state, you'll stay stuck. You'll stay stuck in that mindset. It's called victim mentality. You'll always bring up, well, I got raped when I was this and I was that. I understand. I have empathy for you. Well, I got verbally abused. I understand that. I got abused as well. I got things. But I'm not going to use that as an excuse to stay stuck in a life that's not being fulfilling and successful. You have to come to the reality that what actually happened to me happened for me. In other words, it happened for me to depend on God more and be healed of it so I can help somebody else. You see that? Because God had a plan before you were born. It doesn't matter who your parent, it matter. I don't think I'm being insensitive. It doesn't matter. Too many times we blame our parents. Your parents could have been, you know, you may have been conceived, I like this, up under a bridge at 4 o'clock in the morning in a thunderstorm, in a Volkswagen with the floorboard rusted out. Doesn't matter. You got here. God made sure, and he has a plan. If you allow those fears to control your life, you'll never become. And that's what happens when you have a victim mentality. You're telling yourself you're full of fear. You're not going to move forward. I'm going to stay stuck in this life. I'm going to tell you what, that's not from God. And God's trying to help you get out of that. And when you get in a word church, you'll get out of that. You'll get out of that. You won't stay in there. So the fear of rejection. You know, rejection, when somebody rejects you, rejection can bring an infection. Well, they hurt me. So everybody gets hurt, right? Everybody's going to get hurt. Jesus said it's impossible to be in this life and people not offend you. They're going to offend you. Now listen to me. If you're going to succeed in this life and being a believer and being what God created you to be, pay attention. You have to get rid of the need to be liked. You got to get rid of that. The need to be liked. We all have that need that you want people to like you. See, this church is a word church, and we believe in sanctification. And see, when you start to grow and mature, people who aren't, they think you're arrogant. They think you're trying to be big deal when you're not. You're just trying to steward your life and your words and your thoughts in the way God designed you. And when you start to do that, the people that you used to hang around with, they say, oh, you think you're so muchy-much. Or you think you're this and that. But you're not. You're being humble. You're believing what God says about you. And so now your value starts to come up. It starts to come up. And your esteem starts to come up. And now you can even love the people who are rejecting you. You can give them grace and mercy because you're maturing and growing. Am I making sense? Rejection no longer has its deal on you. We have to get rid of this need to be liked. Paul said this. He said in Galatians 1, 9, and 10, if I still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of Christ. We can't be a people pleaser. That's a problem. You see, some people, when you come to this church and you have old friends and you're born again and you get baptized and you start to grow, you're going to have old friends that want to call you up. Hey, we're going out for a few tonight. Let's go out with the girls or the boys and we're going to go out and have us a few. Well, you know, I think I'm going to stay with my husband and my children and we're going to do something together. Oh, man, is that all you do? You need to do something for yourself. You need to come on out, relax. We're going to go do what we used to do. You don't need that. Are you listening to me? You don't need that. Even your own family. Well, you know, this is what we do. You know, you go into that church, we do this on Saturday night. Or we do this on Sunday. Every Sunday. Well, you know, come over later or come over earlier. But at this time, I'm going to go where I need to go. I'm going to go to the church and be connected, and I'm going to discover who I am. And I'm going to walk this thing out. You can't even let your family. Some people have a fear of their family rejecting. Your family's going to reject you sometimes. That's why this church isn't overflowing. Everybody don't want this. But if you want it, you begin to receive this, and you get rid of that need to be liked. It says this in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare. The word snare means trap, out of God's will. The fear of man will always trap you out of God's will. But it says, but they that trust in the Lord will be secure. How many people are insecure? You see, when you trust God, he brings security in your life. Insecure is a low value. You can't even love your neighbor as yourself if you don't value yourself. That's because you're insecure. You can't love your neighbor because you're insecure. Are we making sense? Remember 1 Peter 2? It says this, 1 Peter 2, 4. Coming to him, Jesus, coming to him as a living stone, you also are being built up a spiritual house. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You're chosen by God. People are going to reject you. You see that? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. What are the sacrifices? Need to be liked. I don't need everybody to like me. I'm going to give that up. And I'm going to focus on what God is calling me to. And I'm stewarding my life, my thoughts, my words, and my actions and responses for the well-being of my own, becoming who God made me to be, and my family and those who are closest to me. Amen? Uncertainty. You must learn to embrace the wisdom of the unknown. That's number five. Number six, something bad is going to happen. Worry. 85%, now this is worldwide study, 85% of what you worry about never happens. Empty. Getting hurt. People worry about getting hurt. This is number seven. You're going to get hurt in this life. People are going to hurt you. We need to learn to get over it. And when you understand that God is with you, it don't hurt that much. It doesn't feel good. But hey, I know God's for me, and I know God has a plan. Right? Rejection and people that hurt you, you can get over it. That's why he says it, Jude. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. When you're in the love of God, people will hurt you and betray you, and you get to a point, it doesn't have any power in your life anymore. Because you know, I'm here to become who God put me here to be. And I love my children. I love my husband, my wife. I love my family. I love the people I'm in church with, the people I'm connected with. And that's what matters. And I want to be an effective witness to the ones who haven't discovered it yet. And I can only do that if I am becoming who God created me to be. You see this? That's why the enemy wants you to, he uses fear to keep you from being faithful. So you don't get to this place. Number eight, being judged by people. When people judge you, they're just saying what their problem is. When people judge you, that's who they are. You see that? Now, number nine, inadequacy. Do it afraid. Number 10, loss of freedom. Freedom. In other words, people think they're afraid. I used to think, I can't have a 12-pack on the weekend. I can't even imagine myself living in this life and not having a 12-pack. Now, this is the way I used to think before I became a Christian, a believer. I used to think, how can you have fun and not go out and drink a few? When I got saved, I had a quart of beer in one hand and a Bible in the other. I haven't ever touched it since. Alcoholism was in my family. Way back. It gets on you. And a lot of you, it's in your family. When you discover who you are, you don't need that anymore. You like having a clear mind and not being inebriated and medicating your pain. You don't need to do that anymore. Because the Holy Spirit makes you feel good. You like who you are. And you like who you're being. And you like when you see in the mirror and what you're about. That's not pride and arrogance. You're becoming who God made you to be. You're just stewarding your life in a healthier way. You see that? That's huge. Freedom. Remember? Freedom. Dumb. Dominion. Kingdom. Freedom. When you have freedom, the king is ruling in you. And now you're free. When you walk into a room, you're free. You make people nervous when you're free. When you're happy and, everybody's talking about the economy and all the government and all that's going on, and you're still happy, you make them nervous. That's okay. Because you're under another government. You're under the kingdom of God. You see that? Oh, are you getting this? So freedom is power, but it's in the love of God. You see that? All right. So those are the 10 fears that we talked about last week. Let me share some things with you real quick. So, this church, okay, if you come here, you're going to be inspired. I promise you, you'll be inspired. See, that's what preaching does. Preaching will inspire people. I've seen people come off of drugs and come in here, they get saved, and they get away from the drugs for a minute, and then they stop coming, they go back to the drugs. Because see, the inspiration was actually making them feel good and better about themselves so they could actually give up the drugs. Inspiration is huge. See, that's what preaching does. It inspires. It inspires. See this? So now, see, here's what happens. People will come here and be inspired, and, you know, they feel good. You know, they leave and they feel, man, I feel so good. I went to church, and they get in their car, while they're in the car, they feel good. They get a phone call. Oh, what? Oh, okay. And their inspiration is gone, dissipates. I felt good a minute. I was in church. I felt so good. Gone. See, that's what inspiration does. It doesn't have a lasting, you hear me? And so people will come and be inspired. And that's important. You need to be inspired. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says this, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." The second time he said wisdom was conventional wisdom. Through conventional wisdom, man's wisdom, you can't know God. So the world through wisdom did not know God, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. People get saved through the preaching of the gospel. You see that? The gospel is a gospel of peace. He said that how shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Amen. The gospel inspires you. The gospel will cause you to be inspired. I've preached in here before, and people will come up and say, "You were talking to me," and they're just all wound up. They've never been in this. Oh, you, and they want to get saved. And they do. So now they're inspired and they're saved. Now what? Go home to a mess, go home to all this problems, and go back to this job they hate. You guys paying attention? This is a church that teaches sanctification. Listen to me. It says in Colossians 1, 27, 28, it says this, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's him we preach. Jesus. It's him we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. God's wisdom. And teaching every man with all wisdom. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the goal, is to present everybody who attends here perfect. Mean I gotta be perfect now? No. Perfect means mature. Now I'm gonna start making mature decisions and my values and who I am. I'm gonna be more mature in my waiting and anticipation for Christ's return. But that only happens through warning every man, teaching every man. There has to be teaching. We don't need a 3-point in a poem. We need where somebody is rightly dividing God's word.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.